Blog Talk Radio.
Quarterback to call in and boast their bold opinion about the sport he or she loves. I am your host, Romero Foran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer radio show. And Stogies and Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, and that is WBEST, Chula Vista, California, WBEST. All right, let's get off into it. Today's topic is going to be NFL Thursday Night Football Week 6 preview. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks in front of a global audience regarding the sport they love, and news topics from the National Football League Thursday Night Football, Major League Baseball, National League Championship Series, and American League Championship Series, NBA preseason openers results. The host will give updates also today regarding football in Uganda and the Zone Series 2022. And a lot of you know I did a special with my good friend over in Uganda, Martin Omala, my good friend Martin Omala, over in Uganda. So we're going to be getting off into what's going on. I just found out they're doing the Zone Series, which he had been asking me to help them build their football program up over there in Uganda. So I'm just giving updates just so people that can help me over here in the United States, help me get their program going over there. They'll have more updates on what the team actually needs in regards to helmets, pads, uniforms, all that stuff. So I'm just trying to get an update from one of the writers, I believe if I have his name correct, Dan McKenzie, over with the AFI, American Football International. He does an AFI review, and he wrote a great article about the zone series and everything like that, and getting some updates on what was going to, gave me some updates on what was going on with it through the article. So I'll be sharing the article on the Blog Talk Radio show on Facebook and Twitter as well. So, and with people that had an interest in helping build the program football in Uganda, I'll be posting up some stuff. So we'll, all of us will have more insight on the status of football over there. And it's a subject near and dear to my heart, because here in the United States, we can all go out and just pick up a football, go to the park and play. And over there, it's not that simple. It's not as simple as just going there and playing football. You know, it's an undertaking over there. So we here that can just go and play, it's a blessing that we can do that. It's a blessing that we can just go out and join a little league football team. I'm not saying that people in America don't struggle to get on a team, because, you know, we do have expenses. We have to pay for insurance, physicals, uniforms, cleats, the cleats, the uniforms and stuff like that in America as well. So, I mean, unfortunately, I wasn't one of those kids that could afford to play little league football, or what we call Pop Warner or Pee Wee League. I couldn't play it because I didn't have the funding. My parents couldn't afford to pay for that stuff. But when I got to high school was more affordable, because all you had to do was pay for a physical, which usually wasn't that much in most cases. But and then they gave you all your shoes, helmets, football pads, uniforms. So when you get to high school, you really don't have to pay much to play football. It's pretty much just offered through the school. Unfortunately, over in Uganda, it's not like that. They actually have to have money to build a lot of these programs from grassroots. And so that's why I was reaching out to some of my constituents to assist me, some of my friends in the football community, to assist me in going over there and help coach the game. So Coach Omala can put the program into the schools from the elementary level to the junior level to the high school level. I think over there they call it secondary school. But he's trying to get it set up like we have it in America, to where the kids are learning it from a young age, starting from flag football and moving on up like they do here in America. So football in Uganda is a program near and dear to my heart. I've done work helping kids play baseball in the Dominican Republic. I've been blessed to do some international stuff, sending uniforms to the Dominican Republic, and providing baseball bats and stuff that they needed over in the Dominican Republic. And the only thing that I asked back in return for any of it was just advertisement for my brand. So I paid for everything out of my own pocket, and some talented baseball kids that probably have already made it to the minor leagues by now today. It's been some time since I've been in touch with the organizer over there for the baseball team in the Dominican Republic. I have to get some updates from my contact that got me in touch with them, because he was my client at one time as a free agent baseball player coming out of college. And I found out he was from the Dominican Republic, and I wanted to know more about the kids playing baseball overseas and stuff like that. So he taught me a lot through the program that he came from in the Dominican. So I have a warm spot in my heart for programs overseas where kids are less fortunate and can't just go outside like we do in America and just pick up a ball and start playing, or can just go to Walmart and pick up a soccer ball, a baseball bat. Whatever sport they play here in America, you can just go to Walmart and pick up some equipment for a little bit of nothing in most cases. You know, I'm not saying that, again, that the American people aren't struggling to get those items. Some people can't afford it right off. They have to save up for it. But what I'm saying is it's definitely more accessible to get those items in the United States than it is in countries overseas like Uganda. So again, you know, just trying to get some updates. They're going to be doing the Zone Series November. The Zone Series 2022 is going to be kicking off in November in Uganda. It's going to be, looks like to me, my understanding is, but I'll read the whole article before we get off air today. Looks like it's going to be a football game, padded football game between Kenya and Uganda. And I think they're bringing in the Democratic Republic of the Congo and Zimbabwe are going to play a game as well. So I've been trying to see how I could help Coach Omala over there and everything like that, Coach Martin Omala, trying to help him out and everything like that to get his team organized and ready to play. And I think the biggest thing is with them is his concern is helmets and shoulder pads to play. But I'm just trying to figure out if there's a gap in communication on that, because it looks like to me everything based on the article, all the teams are already outfitted and everything like that and ready to play. But I have my man Dan McKenzie. He might can shed a little light on that. And if he can't shed any light on it today, I know he'll be able to find out from the president of the, I believe it's the AFFA. That's the governing board for football in Africa, if I am correct. But he can correct me on any of that once he comes on the show. He did say he'd come on the show between, I asked him for 9:15, but I told him he'd come on at 8:15 if he so desired. So either, I'll have him either on the show today, 15 minutes after the first hour, 15 minutes after the second hour, AFI review writer Dan McKenzie, giving us a little insight on football in Uganda in regards to the Zone Series 2022, which will be held in November. So anyway, again, for those of you that's just tuning in, this is Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer Radio Show can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Today's topic is NFL Thursday Night Football Week 6 Preview. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks in front of a global audience regarding the sport they love, and news topics from the National Football League, Thursday Night Football, Major League Baseball, National League Championship Series, and American League Championship Series, NBA season pre-openers results. Right now we got across the wire that Travis Kelce wants Chiefs to sign Odell Beckham Jr. I just heard that Odell Beckham Jr. was signed to the Minnesota Vikings yesterday. Now they're saying something about the Chiefs looking at signing Odell Beckham Jr., which we know is a mega star who hasn't been able to stay healthy on the football field, you know, going back to the Super Bowl last year. So they're saying, will Kansas City be the best landing spot for the quarterback? Me, myself, I would rather see him in Minnesota. Kansas City is already stacked enough. I think if Odell Beckham Jr. goes to Minnesota like it was advertised yesterday on Twitter that he was going to Minnesota, I think that him with Jefferson and the other guys that they got out there in the receiving core, plus the running back and then quarterback Kirk Cousins, I think it's just going to make Minnesota a contender, definitely a postseason playoff contender. So, we'll see. We'll see. It's just so much stuff going on out there. Last night in basketball, it was two good games last night, season openers for the Mavericks against the Suns. The Phoenix Suns pulled it off. Former player for the Golden State Warriors, I believe, Damian Lee, he hit the game-winning shot on a little step-back Bobby Jack jump shot in overtime. If I'm remembering right, I think the game went into OT. The other game that went into overtime was the New York Knicks against the Memphis Grizzlies in John Morant. John Morant, of course, was a human highlight show in that game, and that game went to overtime as well. John Morant pulled it off. So, I mean, it was a heck of a game. I don't know who hit that game-winning shot. I don't know if it was John Morant, but the Memphis Grizzlies pulled it off over the New York Knicks, but the New York Knicks played a hell of a game, a spirited game. So if they played that the way they played last night for the rest of the season, the New York Knicks are going to be they look like they could be a postseason type of situation, at least a play-in tournament situation. They could be a play-in tournament team. So if they play like they did last night against Memphis, I think they got a shot. One of the contributors to the show, my man DC out of Baltimore, Maryland, he always says that he always likes to say that he said the other day he wanted to get rid of Julius Randle. I told him, I said, Julius Randle game over the last few years has finally came full circle. I mean, he's a little older now, so of course it should be full circle by now. But I mean, you know, he was doing his thing with the Lakers, then they sent him to the Pelicans. I hate the Pelicans let him go. And he left the Pelicans and wound up going to the Knicks. So I mean, I think he's a veteran. I think he's a veteran that could still give them that leadership. Still give them that leadership that they need. You know, he may still be working out some kinks, but I think he's a veteran that they should keep on the team. You know, he's that dog, like they say, he's like an Andre Iguodala type of player, in my opinion. He's going to go out there and do what he got to do to help his team win. With that being said, NFL Thursday Night Football action should be coming on tonight because they got everything on Amazon Prime now, which I don't subscribe to. I don't really even know who's playing because it's like when they got all these apps now for the football games, different people are coming to the market buying up broadcast space. And I don't like the fact that Thursday Night Football is not being shown on CBS and it's not being shown on NFL Network in conjunction with CBS. It was bad enough to be on NFL Network because I don't subscribe to NFL Network. So that was already bad enough for some of those games. They would go ahead and put on CBS, at least half of them. They would put them on CBS, and so people that didn't have NFL Network could see it. So I'm just kind of like concerned about the state of football. It looks like it's going to get like boxing, how boxing everything is now going to an app called DAZN or Fox Sports One app. And it's just like everything is going to some kind of app that you got to subscribe into. Sports is just changing because now people, all these different millionaires and all these different billionaires and billionaire companies are able to just basically say, hey, we're going to buy up these games. We're going to buy up a game or two. And they can break up the people that's been broadcasting these sports, CBS, NBC, ABC, the main three. They're basically buying up spots from them or buying up their spots, outbidding them some kind of way. And now the American public got to change the way they watch TV. They're changing the whole landscape of how we watch our sports, and I really don't like it. So, you know, it's crazy. But right now it is 8:17 a.m. Pacific Coast time. The weather is 67 degrees and sunny here in San Diego, California. And this is the Stokers and Bear Radio Show broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. We're going to go off into a music mix, and I'm going to check and see if my guest caller going to be calling in at 15 minutes after the hour or 15 minutes after the second hour. So I'm going to check on that while I'm going to my music mix, but we'll be right back. Stand by. back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. For those of you just tuning in, our topic for the day is NFL Thursday Night Football Week 6 Preview. We'll be going over some stuff from Major League Baseball, National League Championship Series, and the American League Championship Series, in which the San Diego Padres pulled it off yesterday. I believe we got up out of there yesterday, eight runs to five against the Philadelphia Phillies in National League Championship Series action. And the looks like the Houston Astros took game one over the New York Yankees last night. I'll get you some score updates. We also have some hockey score updates coming up and everything like that. But they're saying across the wire, speaking of the Yankees against the Astros, how crucial is it for the Yankees to avoid an 0-2 hole? American League Championship Series game two, Yankees, the Astros tonight, 7:37 Eastern on ESPN Radio. How crucial is it for the Yankees to avoid an 0-2 hole? I think it's very crucial because they got a power hitter over there for the Astros, and Yordan Alvarez, he can put that ball over the wall whenever he wants to. Seems like it will. And, I mean, he can do it in a clutch situation, like, you know, when they're, like, bottom of the ninth and they need, you know, two or three runs, he can put the ball over the fence and make it a tie-in run or basically, you know, it hit a grand slam and, you know, go up one and take the game. So Yordan Alvarez, he is the real deal. So I don't think that the Yankees want to be messing around and going to an 0-2 hole tonight against them. But I do want to give a big shout out to my San Diego Padres because they because the Padres really put up a fight yesterday. I mean, it came down to anything that could go wrong yesterday, and the game did go wrong. We had an early game. You know, the sun was out, as they say, high noon. The sun was out blazing, and I think it was Juan Soto and somebody else. They both lost a couple balls in the sunlight. You know, they had shades on but still was up trying to catch a pop fly and lost the ball in the sunlight. I got to get one of my baseball experts, I think my man JB from Detroit, Michigan. I'm going to get him on the line so he can teach me about how do you catch a ball when it's in the sunlight. I heard them say something about you're supposed to get on the side of the sun. I'm going to have him break that down to me in technical terms when I get him back on the show, probably Monday, try to get him to call into the show so we can go over some baseball action. And he'll definitely educate us on how to catch a pop fly in sunlight. I did confirm that my guy Dan McKenzie, my new friend Dan McKenzie from the AFI American Football International Review, he's gonna be joining us on the show to give us some legitimate, correct updates on the situation of football in Uganda. And since he'll be going down to the Zone Series 2022 this year, and the Zone Series, from my understanding, is a football game that they play in Africa, padded football game, and they're in, I think this year, the Democratic Republic of Congo and Zimbabwe are going to be playing a flag football exhibition because they're new to the sport. So they're using flag football over in Africa to get some of these countries acquainted with the sport. And I think that's a good thing. I know that Troy Vincent, the head of NFL Players Association, Troy Vincent, he's been doing a lot of stuff with the NAIA colleges for the women's in flag football. I think the women NAIA schools just had their first flag football championship. The other thing is that they're getting ready to introduce flag football into the Olympics, which I think is a beautiful thing. So we can start teaching people without full contact, teaching people the rules of the sport and things of that nature, just the basic rules of the sport and how to throw the ball, how to catch the ball and stuff like that, how to kick the ball. So I think it's a great thing that that Troy Vincent and his staff with the National Football League working in conjunction with the IFAF, International Federation of American Football, who supposedly, if I'm correct, handles everything football related outside of the U.S. So I've been helping my good friend again, Martin O'Malley, to get things going over with his team in Uganda and things of that nature. At the same time, I was still trying to help him because he still desires to play, help him get an opportunity in the United States once he gets his visa and everything secured and can come over here, help him get an opportunity maybe in the indoor football league or arena league, you know, call some of my contacts, just give him the opportunity to see what it feels like to play professional football at the pro developmental level. And so we'll kind of like go from there and everything like that on our interview this morning with Dan McKenzie. He'll give us a update. He said he could sit with me for about 20 minutes or so, you know, 15 to 30 minutes, depending on what his time looked like. But he's going to sit in, and we're going to talk about football in Africa, you know. And I think it's a topic near and dear to my heart, and I think it's a topic that a lot of us need to listen to on the replay if you're not listening live, because we take so many things in America for granted. We take a lot of things in America for granted. We can go and just do these sports. You know, we can go outside and play soccer. We can go outside and play baseball. We can go outside and play basketball. We can go outside and play football. You know, we can go to the boxing gym. I mean, some of these kids over there, they don't even have a pair of boxing gloves if they wanted to box. We can go outside and play rugby. You know, the kids don't have a rugby ball. They can't go outside and play football. They don't have a football. There's a whole lot of stuff like that. I've had a person that's very close to me just went to Africa, and they were asking for, you know, every turn, it's money for soccer uniforms and soccer balls, uniforms and money for soccer balls. They wanted it, you know, the little kids. And, you know, it just, you know, unfortunately you can't help everybody, because, I mean, you may be struggling here in America yourself. I mean, this U.S. financial beast that we live in, you know, you may be struggling yourself. But when you can't afford to go to Africa, you can see how other people are living. You kind of like see that a lot of people, even though you might have it rough here in the United States, it's people that have it way, way 10 times worse than you do. So this is why I do this stuff. I reached out to the head coach Omala over in Uganda, and we had been talking and everything about the status of everything over there, and you know, trying to justify budgets. I mean, like I told him, I said I think a lot of people would more so donate equipment than money. Like maybe some people could donate helmets, some stores. Some schools could donate their old equipment, old helmets, old pads. Because about every 4 years, these schools over here in the United States, they'll switch. They have a budget to get new stuff. So, and some of the old stuff is usable. So I have to reach out to some colleges and some high schools to say, hey, who can send some usable pads, usable helmets that you can still salvage, or if it needs some work, just put a little bit of work into maybe a screw here, a screw there, and then the stuff is still salvageable. So I have a huge undertaking through that. I'm trying to reach out to a lot of the NAIA schools. If you don't know what NAIA means, it's off the top of my head, National Athletic, NAIA, National Athletic Intercollegiate Athletics, something like that. But it's not NCAA, but it's NAIA. And I'm reaching out to the NAIA schools first before the NCAA schools, because the NAIA programs, they have a lot of missionaries and things like that. They go over to Africa and they spread the word of Christianity and stuff like that overseas. And some of these missionaries might have played football at the same time while they're, you know, spreading the gospel. They can teach the kids how to play football and try to help implement football in Uganda. So that's what I'm trying to do. I don't, like I told Coach Omala, I don't have the money to do it, but, you know, I have the heart to try to help him get the resources to see it. And the people may not send money, but I mean, I just need them to send the equipment. If the equipment is already paid for, all they got to do is send uniforms, helmets, and stuff like that to outfit a team. And so, and then, you know, send some flag football equipment for the girls and the younger kids that's just learning how to play. It's a huge undertaking, but it can be done. I know it can be done. And if I run into the right people that actually have dollars, like professional athletes, and maybe if I can get someone like Troy Benson as well to respond to some of my emails and stuff like that, once I put the whole thing together, I trust that someone in the NFL front office could also help our cause. But first things first, I'm going to do my part so I can show them what I've already done, show them what I've already done and what I'm trying to do. And then, you know, when you show people what you've already done, maybe they'll be willing to come in and put the cherry on top of the cake, put the cherry on top of the ice cream, and go ahead and make the situation a successful venture. But again, for those of you just turning in, we're just talking about a lot of stuff coming across the wire, a lot of different stuff going on. It's almost Saturday, so we got college football coming up. One thing I want to do is give a shout out to a company out there called The Grio, the G-R-I-O, The Grio. Here in San Diego, California, a lot of the kids here don't understand what historical black colleges and universities are. Historical black colleges and universities, which you might call back in the day a land-grant college, where after the Civil War, land grants were given to build schools to educate the Negro youth. And so we call these schools now historically colleges, or if you from way back in the day, you might say historical Negro colleges. But historical black colleges, HBCU, is what they're commonly referred to. And we're talking about schools in the Southwestern Athletic Conference, the SWAC or the MEAC, Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. And you got your Gramlins, your Mississippi Valley State. But Grambling has been playing. I've seen about three good Grambling university games, and Grambling is near and dear to my heart because Grambling is outside of Monroe, Louisiana, right about 45 minutes outside of Monroe, Louisiana, and that's where I hail from, Monroe, Louisiana. So anytime I can catch a good Grambling State University football game, I always take the time to watch it. And the company that I'm talking about, The Grio, in conjunction with HBCU.com, they've been putting up a lot of good games on for the black colleges, and so these kids out here in San Diego, California, can see that, hey, if you can't make it to the big school programs out here, you could probably go down south and have an opportunity to start as a freshman. Like Grambling, they have a couple kids from California. I have noticed a couple kids are playing from the California area for Grambling because the coach, Hugh Jackson, he's from, I believe, from L.A. or somewhere here in California. So he's a West Coast guy. So he went back to the West Coast and started getting some of these kids. And I think it was a smart move because a lot of these schools, even though because the military is here, so it's a big melting pot of military families in California. So the thing about it is California has talent from all over the United States in this state. And so it's smart to come out here because you might have a school that their second tier players could actually start for another high school. And those type of players on the second tier program, on a good program, their second tier players are almost as good as the starters, if not as good. And so I was encouraging them when I was doing my HBCU meet and greet seminars, where I was having black colleges come down here and talk to the kids about going to school down south. I had athletic directors and educational directors coming out here talking to them about attending school, and on top of that, the athletic opportunity to play at black colleges. So the thing about that is that I was trying to encourage a lot of the kids at these schools, like, hey, man, you know, you even if you're a second string player at your school, you may still qualify to go to college if you got the right grades or close to having the right grades. With a little bit of help, you might can with a little bit of work, you might can go and play down south in the SWAC or the MEAC for a black college. And then I was also trying to do a diversity thing to where I was even encouraging the white kids, the Caucasian kids out here, and the Hispanic kids, hey, you might want to look into going and playing at a black college for diversity. Now, we do have a lot of Hispanic kids going to the black colleges now because they came from, during Hurricane Katrina, a lot of Hispanics moved from the West Coast down south to help in the efforts, you know, in the area down south for Hurricane Katrina. And a lot of them, they stayed down there. That's a fact, because I just came from Monroe, Louisiana, and we have quite a few Hispanics in Monroe, Louisiana, and we did not have that when I was growing up. We maybe had 1%, meaning like you may see one or two Hispanic people every now and then. But now it's like they're there. The Hispanic community is in Monroe, Louisiana, and I'm quite sure all points around the South, because I'm seeing it on these football games. A lot of these Hispanic kids are playing football at the black colleges, no doubt, no doubt. And it's a good thing, definitely, in our kicking game, because, of course, you know, out here in California, the Hispanics, they thrive in soccer. They do. That's just a fact. They do thrive in soccer out here. So when they go to the black colleges, I know those coaches are like, hey, can you kick? Because, you know, the black colleges, I just have to say it, our kicking game has not been that great. We normally run the two-point conversion. Even when I was in high school, we ran the two-point conversion most of the time because we didn't have a strong kicking game. But now, like I said, with you know, different cultures, you can pick, you can kind of like pick, you know, different people to do certain things. And a lot of the kids that play soccer originally, they're kickers and punters and everything for a lot of the black colleges. Yeah, because I know this because I listened to their last name. They have Hispanic last names, and it makes sense because they're used to kicking that ball from being soccer players. Then, you know, just like we had a lot of guys in the NFL that played Australian rules football, they use them as kickers and punters. Why? Because they're used to, in Australian rules football, you have to kick the ball around. And so makes sense. But anyway, with that being said, I just want to give a shout-out to the Grio and HBCU.com. Grio in conjunction with HBCU.com for putting on these games out here, the black college football games, historical black college football games, and they run them on KUSI Channel 9 in San Diego, KUSI Channel 9 in San Diego, and I want to give KUSI a big shout-out, too, because they've been running those games every week, and I hope they don't stop. I put out a tweet on Twitter, and I tagged all the parties that I just said, KUSI, the Grio, and HBCU.com, because to get up on a Saturday morning, I can sit back and I can watch a good black college football game from my area. Grambling against Southern, Grambling against Prairie View, Grambling against Mississippi Valley State or whatever, Grambling against Alabama A&M. So to make a correction, I've seen Grambling against Prairie View, Grambling against Alabama A&M, Grambling against one more team. But I've seen about three Grambling games. And I also seen another game with two other teams, so I'm happy to see that. I'm happy to see that. Man, ESPN, they had some black football on TV. Morgan State played against North Carolina Central, and that was a rout. North Carolina Central blew out Morgan State, but what I did see, North Carolina Central has a heck of a running back there, and they have a heck of a quarterback. Their quarterback is good. So I've been seeing a lot of good black college football. Speaking of black college sports and the NCAA, which is we do talk a lot of college stuff on this show, basketball, football, and baseball, NCAA, men and women sports. But they announced that Grambling and Southern, which is a traditional football rivalry, going back to the Bayou Classic, they're going to have Grambling and Southern, a historical rivalry in the SWAC. They're going to be playing basketball for the All-Star game. That's going to be the HBCU Classic basketball game for the NBA All-Star game weekend. So that's going to be big. And shout outs to the NBA and their commissioner for allowing black colleges in basketball, not football, black college basketball to get some shine. So that's great. Across the wire, we got tonight, Thursday Night Football, Saints at the Cardinals. And I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. I'm upset because at the end of the day, I didn't even know that my team, the New Orleans Saints, was playing. I saw it, but it's like because everything is on this Amazon, Thursday Night Football is on Amazon Prime, I'm not really paying attention to Thursday Night Football like I should. And I almost missed the fact that the Saints are playing tonight against the Cardinals, which should be an action-packed game. I mean, the Saints, we're like 2-0. Hopefully tonight we can at least get to 3-3, get to 500. So that's what I'm hoping, that we can get to 500. So it's just we're not doing that good. We're not doing that good this year. This is a rebuild year for us. You know, we might need to clear out some of our salary, clear out some of our roster to help with our salary cap so we can sign some key free agents and get rid of some vets to sign some key free agents and move forward. But we definitely, I think, still struggling in the quarterback department, although we have a halfway quarterback in Taysom Hill, which is an athlete. He can play anything, you know, besides lineman, of course. But then we got Andy Dalton, who's a playoff quarterback, but I don't know. It's just we got to get some consistency at the quarterback position. I really hate Drew Brees is gone, and I really hate Sean Payton is gone. But we'll see what happens. But Saints and the Cardinals are playing tonight on Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. I won't be able to see the game. I'll just wait for my brother to tell me who's winning because he's going to catch the game no matter where they're playing at or no matter what station or app they're playing on. My brother is a diehard Saints fan. So shout out to my brother Cartier Ferrand. I'll get the updates from him because I know he'll get them to me. They got across the wire, respect. Dallas players respectfully told Stefanski he doesn't. Let's see this here. Come, gotta get my glasses on. Dallas players reportedly told Sirianni he doesn't belong on the same field last season. Does this explain the animated coach we saw on the sidelines last Sunday? So respect on Sirianni. And they got the Lions with the Cowboys, -7, Sunday, 1 Eastern. Dallas players reportedly told Sirianni he doesn't belong on the same field last season. Does this explain the animated coach we saw on the sideline last Sunday? So I'm guessing that Sirianni is with the Eagles now. And they're saying put some respect on his name because now he's with the Eagles. They're the best team in pro football. They're 6-0. So if you let Sirianni go and he went to the Eagles, if the Cowboys let Sirianni go and he went to the Eagles and he's 6-0, maybe y'all had it wrong. Yeah, put some respect on his name because y'all couldn't beat him. Y'all just lost to him this past weekend. So there you go with that. However, Dallas is still a good team, but it looks like Sirianni is the one that made it out of that relationship because he got a team and they're 6-0. Across the wires as well, we got Odell Beckham. He's saying, show me the money, Odell Beckham. So, looks like he may be going to the highest bidders, Odell Beckham. I thought he was going to the Minnesota Vikings. That's what I'm a little confused because that is what Twitter said yesterday. He was going to the Minnesota Vikings. So, maybe they were saying a what if. Maybe I read it wrong. But I thought they specifically said that Beckham was going to the Vikings. I wish he would have came to the Saints. I wish he would have came to the Saints because we'd have had that LSU connection with Landry, Matthew, and Beckham. We'd have had that Louisiana connection. However, we had a Louisiana connection last week that didn't go our way, meaning Joe Burrow, who won a championship at LSU. Joe Burrow, and then we had doggone Ja'Marr Chase, you know, from LSU as well. So we had a Louisiana connection last weekend that didn't go our way. But, you know, things happen. But across the wire, it says, Travis Kelce hints at Chiefs potentially signing Odell Beckham Jr. Show me the money. So we don't know. Travis Kelce hints at possible Beckham acquisition after restructuring contract to create cap space. Do the Chiefs need Odell to win the Super Bowl? I don't think so. I don't think the Chiefs need Odell Beckham to win the Super Bowl at all. The Rams don't even need Odell Beckham to win the Super Bowl because they won the Super Bowl. Even though he scored, they pretty much won the Super Bowl without him after he scored. So I don't think they necessarily need him, but I do know that Odell Beckham is a dang gone good asset for any team trying to add to their roster. I don't know when the free agent deadline for signing or trading and whatnot. I don't know what's the deadline for all of that. I have to get more information on that, but anybody that's trying to make a move to add to their roster, I definitely think that you come on and you sign Odell Beckham Jr. I definitely think you do that. With that being said, we're going to go off into my music mix, and the time on deck is 8:46 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. The weather is 71 degrees, partly sunny in San Diego, California. And this is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to come on and boast the sport he or she loves. Stogies and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I want to apologize before I forget. I told everybody yesterday was my Friday. Today is my Friday. I kind of got mixed up in my days. So hopefully people didn't miss the show and they see that I am on air because I did post it on social media that I'm on air. I thought yesterday was Thursday, but it was actually Wednesday. And I was like, when I looked at the calendar later, I was like, you got to go to work tomorrow. You're not off. So I had to get up and come to work and do the show. But anyway, we're going to go off in our music mixing. And coming up 15 minutes after the second hour, we're going to have Dan McKenzie, writer from the American Football International, on board at the – and I want to shout out to Roger Kelly with American Football International as well for setting this up for me because I was trying to get Roger on, but Roger put me in touch with Dan, so he's going to come on and talk about the big event in Uganda, the Zone Series 2022, Kenya versus Uganda in American-style football. So we're going to be talking about that and helping my efforts to help get football established in Uganda through my friend Martin Omala in Uganda. So we're gonna be talking about that and everything like that 15 minutes into the second hour. So stand by. We're going to get off into some music mix. Hello, and welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and debate about the sport that they love. Today's topic is NFL Thursday Night Football. And they're going to have, for NFL Thursday Night Football, they're going to have the Saints and the Cardinals going at it tonight. I wish my home state, New Orleans Saints, I wish them luck tonight. Hopefully they can contain Kyler Murray, and they can contain Hollywood Brown. But I think they said something about Hollywood Brown had got hurt, so that's definitely to our advantage. But then they got, Hopkins back. DeAndre Hopkins is back, so I don't know. I think our secondary has been struggling a little bit, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah, so a lot of stuff going on in sports. Like I said, you know, last night, you know, they're saying that the Suns scorched the Mavericks in a 107-105 victory for the Phoenix Suns. Like I said, I believe Damian Lee. I know his last name is Lee. Played for the Golden State Warriors. He done a step back shot and won the game. He kind of like made a little contact and then done a step back Bobby Jack move and sunk a two pointer, sunk a bucket to put the Suns on top and no time left on the clock. So I was watching that game back and forth in between Chicago Fire. So if I got the details on the wrong, forgive me. I was moving back and forth. I like Chicago Wednesdays. You know, we got Chicago Mid, Chicago Fire, and Chicago PD. So I was kind of like watching two different monitors. I was watching the games on one and watching my Chicago Wednesday TV shows on the other monitor. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm going to try to get some hockey scores in here for y'all soon. I told y'all it's going to be better this month since hockey is in season. Trying to get my hockey scores and updates and stuff into you. I know big news in hockey is they're changing their salary cap. They're changing the salary cap, adding $4 million. So if I'm correct, they're going to be able to sign. They should be able to, you know, people can be able to sign at least another free agent or two with the $4 million increase on the salary cap. So if they're over, that gives them a little bit more room to sign people because you, and I believe in hockey, they're just like football. If you, you know, if you go over the cap, you know, you can't go over the cap. You can't go over the cap. In basketball and baseball, they have a luxury tax. And basketball is very taxing on the team because I believe it's $1.75 per dollar that you go over. So if you so basically, you know, you do the math. If you go over a player of $1 million over your cap, over the luxury cap for luxury tax for $1 million extra, what they're going, well, they don't have a salary cap. So if you overspend on your budget $1 million. For that $1 million, every dollar is going to get taxed $1.75 on top of that dollar that you overspent. That's a lot of money. So, I mean, you're almost basically paying definitely over double for the player. So if you want to sign a player for $1 million, if you're going dollar for dollar, there will be $2 million. But it's still a 75 cent tax on that dollar. So I don't know the official math, but that's a lot of money to be overpaying. So most teams are encouraged to do two things: either stay up under your cap, or not overspend so you don't have to pay a luxury tax. Now in baseball, it's the same thing; they have a luxury tax too. But a lot of baseball teams that can afford, like the Yankees, they don't worry about no luxury tax. They got old baseball money. The Yankees are a global brand. They're not worried about paying over because they got the dollars to do so. So if you're a baseball team that like the Boston Red Sox, the New York Yankees, you know, they can afford to do that. If you're a small ball team, you know, like maybe the Cleveland Guardians, they can't afford to go, you know, to pay luxury taxes like that. So, you know, or the Baltimore Orioles. I was talking to my number one sports contributor out of Maryland, D.C. He was saying that, you know, the Baltimore Orioles, their highest player ain't even making $1 million. So I know they ain't paying no luxury tax on no player. So, you know, over the wire, we got Giannis and the Bucks face Embiid Sixers tonight. So Giannis and the Bucks are going to be facing Embiid and the Sixers tonight. We saw, what was that, the night before last, Embiid in a wrestling match down low with Smart, you know, and we gave him that arm bar and threw him down to the ground. It's just like, you know, the NBA is more physical than the NFL. The NBA is more physical than the NFL, and I never thought I'd see something like that. But they're more physical than the National Football League. So, you know, that was kind of like funny to me. But anyway, Giannis and the Bucks are going to be facing Embiid and his Sixers. Who wins, Milwaukee or Philadelphia? I'm going to take Milwaukee in that game. I'm going to take Milwaukee in that game. And the reason why I'm going to take Milwaukee in that game is because the Sixers, they lost by quite a bit. Well, they lost by 9. If I remember right, they lost by 9 points the other night. So if they lost by 9 to the Boston, and I think the Sixers were up for a minute. If I'm remembering right, if I'm incorrect, calling into the show and correct me, the guest calling in line is 515-602-9687. 515-602-9687. So if we need, you know, if you want to call in and correct me or debate me about who's going to win the game tonight between Giannis and Embiid, the Bucks versus the Sixers, please call into the show. Let us know. But a lot of stuff to talk about because we got NBA is here, National Hockey League is here. So we got three major sports going on at one time. Unlike in the summertime, where all we got is baseball, and then we got football topics or basketball topics, you know, from just the players themselves and trade deadlines and stuff like that. But it's crazy. They want to know, will Cliff Kingsbury be coaching for his job tonight? Will Cliff Kingsbury coach for his job tonight? So basically they're saying that the Cardinals coach Cliff Kingsbury, they, you know, want to know why the Cardinals are, I think they're 2-3 as well, and Cliff Kingsbury is supposed to be the saving grace for that team, working with Kyler Murray, who he coached in college. They want to know if he's going to be coaching for his job tonight. So we'll see how that goes. They want to know how Zion Williams continues to show he's a generational talent. If you didn't see the game last night, the Pelicans, I forgot who they were playing, but Zion Williamson, he looks in better shape. He looks a little leaner. I don't think he looked bad at first, but he's just a big guy. But he looks a little bit leaner, look a little bit more muscular. But he's just as explosive as ever been. And, I mean, for a man to be that big, to move around the basketball court and do the things that he do, the dunks, the layups, the blocks, you know, just the way he plays. I mean, he plays nimble for to be that big. And going back, we got Saints and the Cardinals. Saints and Cardinals, -2.5 tonight, 8:15 Eastern. Kingsbury, talk of being on the hot seat is warranted. Cards move on from Cliff Kingsbury after slow start. Kingsbury, talk of being on the hot seat is warranted. Should Cardinals move on from Cliff Kingsbury after slow start? Well, I don't think so. I mean, football is just any given Sunday. And right now, nobody's dominant. So they got a good chance of getting back to business. You know, they got a good chance of getting back to business and everything like that tonight. So we'll see what happens. I hope my Saints can pull it out, but at the same time, they're both 2-3, Saints and the Cardinals, and so they both have an opportunity to kind of like get at least to 3-3. You know, going to, you know, hit on week 6, you know, get to 3-3. So if either one of these teams can get back to .500, I mean, I don't think either coach should be on the hot seat because, I mean, you know, week 6, you're mid-season, 3-3, you know, no big deal. Everybody can't be 6-0. Everybody can't be 6-0, you know, in most cases. You know, I mean, maybe the number of games and number of teams, somebody could be 6-0 along with the Eagles. But in most cases, everybody's not going to be 6-0 at this point. You know, I think the marker is 4-2. If you're 4-2, you're a good team right now. 4-2 after 6 games, you're a good team right now. And I think everybody's kind of like pretty much middle of the road, 4-2, 5-1. But the middle of the road is 4-2. But if you're 3-3, 4-2, 5-1, you're good. And I'm not gonna say 6-0 because, you know, 6-0 is a whole nother topic, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. They're doing their own thing right now. And I'm happy for Jalen Hurts because, you know, I hated the knock on him coming out of college. You know, the knock on him, I guess, was that you know, he's just gonna be a runner quarterback. But he's showing that he can put the ball down the field, he can run the ball, he can do all the little things and get his team to a win. And he did it against one of the best defenses in professional football, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, it is 9:04 Pacific Standard Time, and we're going to go off into some more music mix real quick and get everything set up for our guest co-host to call in today. Our guest caller, you know, our new friend of the show is going to be calling in, this Dan McKenzie from American Football International. Big shout out to Roger Kelly as well for getting this interview set up, just so we could have a little bit more insight over on this side of the pond about what's going on with American football in Uganda, which is a topic near and dear to my heart. I'm just trying to get everything, get some clarifications on what he knows about the situation over there, and he will be attending the Zone. The Zone 2020 event, and what is that? I want to make sure I got it right. The Zone Series 2022. He's going to be attending Zone Series 2022, Kenya versus Uganda, in a actually padded exhibition football game. And last time they done this, I believe, was 2018, where it was a tie game, 18-18. So hopefully my friend Coach Omala over in Uganda can have the Uganda team top the Kenyan team. But good luck to both of those teams. And it sounds like, based on the information I got this morning, that this is going to be a really good event. I'll come back and I'll read some of the information that I got from my good friend Roger Kelly over in England, and I'll read that information and then have Dan McKenzie comment on it and give us some insight on how things are going, and just some information on AFI and what they do, and some information also on IFAF, International Federation of American Football, and what they do and what plans they have going with you know, helping Uganda. And then I'll talk a little bit about what I'm trying to do. So we'll get some clarification on that, just trying to get more knowledge, more information out there, so it can be these shows are recorded. People can always go back and listen to it and hear from the horse's mouth, as they say over here in America. You can hear from the horse's mouth. But this is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. That's WBEST, and I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. We're going to some music mix and get set up for our interview, and we'll be back at 9:15, and hopefully we'll have our guest calling in, Dan McKenzie from AFI, American Football International newsletter, and we'll have him on the line and get some more information. So stand by. Hello and welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. This is your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Just trying to deal with some audio connection situation here with my guest caller, so stand by. I'm going to try to make this call. I'm going to try to make this call, and we're going to go from there and get everything going. So just stand by with us people for a minute. We're going to go back into some music. We'll get this all squared away. Check my audio level here before I start my interview with you. And it looks like we're check. We're good. We're back on air. So welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, people. I just had to switch my audio line to get my guest on the show. And we're going to be talking to Dan McKenzie with the AFI, American Football International Review. How you doing this morning, Dan?
I'm good. It's actually afternoon where I am.
Okay. Can you hear me okay? Yeah, I can hear you perfectly clear. So what I had to do was go into my studio dashboard on Blog Talk and conduct the interview like that, so everybody can hear me on both sources. You can hear me on the phone, and they can hear me through my sound system. But we're here, nevertheless. Yeah, man. So I wanted to call you. I actually called Roger Kelly, and thanks so much to Roger because he been trying to help me get some information on the situation with football in Uganda. And I actually just give you a little background on how me and I got involved in this. Me and Coach Omala, Martin Omala, we were talking through Twitter. I seen that the Philadelphia Eagles had came out there to Uganda and was doing like a 3-day workshop or something like that with him. I don't know if you're familiar with that story, but that's kind of like how me and Coach Omala got involved, and he was telling me that he needed some help. He needed some people from different places to come over there and help establish a program for American football in the schools. Like here we call it elementary school with the little kids, then the younger teenagers, junior high, and then high who I think over there they call it secondary school. But he was trying to basically grow the sport in the school system, which makes sense because that's the way we do it in the United States. And I've been trying to help him find different people. And I reached out to Roger and asked him, did he know anything about I knew he knew about IFAB, but Coach O'Malley had told me that he was trying to get in touch with Pierre, who's in charge of IFAB, and trying to get funding and this and that to do things. But it was kind of like taking a little bit. So what I've been doing is reaching out to people that I know that coach over in Europe and coaches over here in the United States that are in education and stuff like that, and they coach football. So I was trying to get some people involved, and I've had a couple of people that was volunteering, but, of course, they wanted to know if they went over, would there be any compensation financially, of course. But right now, like I told them, it's all volunteer stuff, so we can't really promise that. And the next thing was equipment. So I'm trying to reach out to different colleges and high schools that have equipment that's it might be old, but it's still usable, maybe to donate helmets, shoulder pads, and uniforms over there to take care of at least one team of players. So anyway, I saw this morning Roger had sent me an article about the zone. Zone Series 2022. And me and Martin O'Malley was talking a couple weeks ago about a budget to help them get their team basically fielded, you know, uniforms, helmets, and all this here to get them going. But I was telling him when I read the Zone Series, the Zone Series event, it seemed like everything is pretty much up and running. It seemed the way the article was written was like, and you wrote the article, so I'll let you comment on it. It seemed like my understanding is that everything's a go. They got the location, they got the funding and everything forward. But anyway, I was just trying to get you on the line to kind of like clear that up and see if this event was a go based on your article, or is this still something that's possible? So I'll let you go ahead and talk.
As I'm sure your listeners are aware, and I'm sure you're aware, that football in Uganda and in East Africa, I guess the whole of the continent, to be honest, is still developing. It's very early stages. I think West Africa, places like Nigeria and Ghana, are further ahead, in part due to NFL Africa and the help of Osu Manura. I don't know if you've seen recently, but a lot of West African, Nigerian predominantly have been coming to London for combines and eventually to the States. There was three Nigerians in the NFL this last year. And Africa in itself is just it's beginning to get tapped into as a source for football players. Osu Manura gave the stat that 10% of NFL players can relate back to West Africa, right? And if 10% of your players are from a particular area, why are we not investing more in these places? And that's taken wind over the last 2 years now. And more investments coming. But in East Africa, in places like Uganda, Kenya, Democratic Republic of Congo, Tanzania, etc., it's still it's really far behind. There's just not a lot of money going around. Everything is kind of like self-funded. And so this event, Africa Zone Series, is mostly ran by Stephen Okeng. He is the president of the American Football Federation of Uganda. He has spent most of his own money on this event, with help from the Kenyan national team. It's mostly his own money. And the government does support the program very loosely. It does provide money very occasionally. But for the most part, they are supporting themselves. And Stephen is just hustling to try and get the money he can to run this event. He wants to bring the Democratic Republic of Congo in, DRC. He wants to bring Zimbabwe in. To play under flag format. Okay. And he wants to do that because he wants to grow the sport. But yes, money is an issue, as you can imagine. So this has all been set up in Kampala to try and run this. Kenya and Uganda have been playing each other for the last 4 or 5 years now. They travel back and forth, mostly in Nairobi. Actually, this is the first time that Kenya have come to Kampala to play. That's where it stands right now. Stephen is trying to get money from the US embassy, from the Swedish embassy, from various embassies, but without too much luck. But they're making do for now. I think so, we'll go so far just because I've seen these guys play. I've seen images of them play, and they just don't have everything they need. They play on like long grass fields. They kind of share pads and helmets a lot of the time. And so yeah, they're making do what they have, but for the kind of effort they're putting in, I think they deserve more.
Okay. So that's what I was trying to clear up. So I mean, the event is set up to a certain degree. I mean, it looks like it's going to take place, but it's going to be a lot of makeshift stuff in the middle, you know, a lot of cutting and pasting in the middle to make a game and everything like that, especially when it comes down to the guys that's playing with helmets and pads. Am I correct?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, from my understanding, yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so, so the only thing, like I told Coach Amala, I told him, I say, man, it November is just like right around the corner when he first hit me with it. And at first I thought it was his own individual event that he was doing, but he just didn't give me the name of the event, his own series. But it's like I was trying to tell him that the turnaround time on getting something like that, of that magnitude done on my end, because I don't have the money. If I was an NFL football player, of course, I could just make things happen through charity or something like that, of course, but I'm not an NFL football player. I'm just an average Joe. But I was telling him that you need a long lead time. For me, myself, I would need a long lead time to make something like that happen, because there's a lot of donations that would need to be made with equipment. I just told him, I said, right now, November, for me, I couldn't do it like I would want to. It would take me more time, so maybe the next time it comes around, I'll have all my stuff set up to help, and all my donors to send stuff over there to make it a better thing. But currently where we stand, I mean, I'll do what I can for it right now. Maybe I can get lucky and find someone that'll send some stuff over there by November, and it gives me 30 days to work with. But yeah, man, I mean, it's something I've been trying to do, because like I was saying earlier on the show, and you can hear it on the replay of the broadcast, is that we in America, we, you know, and I'm quite sure just like over there in the UK, you can go outside and play soccer. You know, everything is established. You can go buy a soccer ball. You can find a park to play in, a field to play on. And but over there in Uganda, like Martin was telling me, it's not like that. It's like, you know, it's an undertaking just to go and get a football. It's an undertaking just to find a place for them to play at and practice. So I understand it, and I've helped baseball players, baseball teams in the Dominican Republic. I've sent money out of my pocket over there for uniforms, bats, baseballs, all that stuff. But football, you know, because of the helmets, the pads, and stuff like that, it's a little bit more expensive than other sports.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think Stephen, the president, and Stephen Martin, he spoke to, they realize that they're just trying in any way they can. And I think they were in contact with a Ugandan from Sweden, Ugandan in nationality but born and raised in Sweden. He plays in one of the professional leagues in Sweden. He had actually agreed to bring over a bunch of pads to Uganda for the event. And run the combine and do a few things, but I think even getting him to Uganda was tricky in itself, just because of financial issues. I don't think he could make it on his own, and so yeah, I think there's all those obstacles there, and just getting to Uganda, I think there's only two or three airlines that go there. And you have to go to like either Nairobi first or Doha, and then fly back to Uganda to Kampala. There's only one airport, so it's a bit of a logistical nightmare getting there, and especially getting equipment there, like you said. But they have avenues. I just think it's a mixture of finding the right donor financially and then matching that person up with the right equipment guy. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
My next question for you is this. What is their level of expertise on the coaching side and on the player side? Because when you're talking about sending pads and helmets, and we're already having, even in the NFL and in college and high schools here, the concussion protocol. So do they know how to use the equipment? Do they know how to properly tackle without hurting themselves? Do they know how to properly tackle without hurting each other and putting each other in a concussion protocol or injuring someone? what speak to their level of expertise in sending these pads and helmets over there, because that stuff can be a weapon.
You're 100% right. It's a great question. It's something that I know in West Africa, for example, they've in Nigeria and Ghana, they've tried to move more towards flag for that very reason, just to keep it safe. I know they've done that previously in places like Uganda and Kenya. They've got quite an established like flag league there. They play flag quite a lot, and I think it was just the obvious step for them to then go into contact. As far as the coaching goes, and the level of coaching there, it's probably hit or miss. They have resources and they speak to various outsiders. They've partnered with a global scouting network called All22, who are based in Jacksonville, I believe. But they have scouts all over the world, and there's a few contacts there in Uganda for All22. And so they use those resources to learn about the game and learn about safety and proper tackling techniques and so on. And so there are those resources that compare it to the States, for example, and the protocols that they have to go for is their worlds apart, as you can imagine. But I just think it's a logical step for these guys to want to play contact, to play the sport in the way that it was intended.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a great thing, because at the end of the day, you know, like Coach Martin O'Malley was saying, he said that this sport in that country could change people's lives. He said he see it economically changing lives if players could come from there and come here and play. Or even if they went to the like the ELF in Europe, the European Football League, the EFL or ELF, whichever one it is. But you know the one I'm talking about over in the UK.
Yeah.
And so it definitely would be beneficial economically to help them. But can you speak to this before you get out of here? Can you speak to the IFAF? What position, and I've heard the name of Pierre brought up by Martin and also Roger Kelly. What's his position? Is he in charge of anything football outside of the United States?
So IFAF, International Federation of American Football, is essentially a kind of Eurocentric federation, right? It focuses mostly on Europe because that is where the sport is played at a high level outside of the States. If you like you said yourself, ELF, the European League of Football, there's the German Football League, the Austrian Football League, the French Football League, all these different countries, Italian Football League, they play professional. They play professional football there, right? They bring over D1 athletes, moving and making the NFL, they're making the CFL, they come over and play. There's obviously limitations on the amount of imports you can have. That's what they refer to, imports. But they play at a high level, right? And that way, kind of making the jump for the CFL isn't always that big. The NFL is obviously a different league, just purely from an athletic standpoint. And that's where the kind of sourcing of African players comes from, because they more often than not hold best physical attributes. So that's why OC Manure is obviously looking at West Africa, and then other people looking at East Africa, so on, because there's bigger bodies there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But IFAS focuses mostly on Europe. Pierre Trochet is the president of that, the recently appointed president. I know Pierre Trochet. I've had conversations with him, I met him in person. He's a great guy. And they do want to develop the sport. They do want to develop it in various different parts of the world. However, their main prerogative immediately would be to develop football in a flag format first and then move to contact. So any dealings that they have in East Africa or West Africa will be in flag first. But it's a very tough ask to get IFAF, which isn't a huge organization, to not only deal with everything football-related in Europe, and they do stuff in like the Middle East too, but then and some stuff in North Africa, but then for them to go to East Africa and West Africa and other parts of the world is really, really difficult. And so they just don't have the capacity necessarily to extend there. And like I said, with the limited infrastructure in those places, i.e. Uganda, with flights, maybe things aren't broadcast the same way. Like in Elf, you can watch a game. You can watch an Elf game and with commentators, with several different cameras. You look like you're watching a college football game. Do you know what I mean? The production for Elf is better than like Division 2, Division 3 football, in some Division 2 anyway. And so it's like, you can get that, you can evaluate that, you can deal with that, you know where to use that. They have one to do with the other is difficult at the end of the day.
Let me ask you this here. Are you familiar with what Troy Vincent, the head of the NFL Players Association, is doing here in the United States with women's flag football in college, mainly not NCAA college, but NAIA colleges, and in his efforts to get the International Olympic Committee to make flag football a Olympic sport? Are you familiar with those efforts?
Yeah, I am. And there is the counterpart of that is Pierre Crochet, as you spoke about before, head of the IFF. He is leading the flag committee, basically, submit the proposal to basically be a Olympic. So it's definitely a very strong movement from Europe as well.
Okay, so how expensive would it be for them to implement? And I think you touched on it, but let me ask you again. How difficult would it be for them to implement a strong, solid flag football league in Uganda? I mean, we're taking the pads out of it, but when it comes down, then all you have to do basically is just get the balls, the cleats, and the uniforms. How much of an undertaking would that be, in your opinion?
So I think the main difference between football outside of North America. And the rest of the world, basically, inside North America, rather, is that in North America, there's infrastructure. There are systems set up so that regardless of individuals, the sport is going to continue, whether it's flag or contact, NFL, whatever. It's going to continue because there's a system set up. Whereas outside of North America, in Europe, in some parts of Europe, and the rest of the world, it's about individuals. Individuals make mammoth efforts to grow their programs, to grow their teams, to create a community of football. And if those individuals disappear for whatever reason, life gets in the way, the sport stops or drastically falls off a cliff, right? And so those are the challenges you're dealing with. You're struggling to even begin to create that infrastructure. How you create that infrastructure is obviously you want to set up like federations, you want to invest in federations, those federations therefore invest in grassroots programs and professional leagues where there are exchanges with other leagues outside of the country or in different parts of the country. The same way it is in North America, right? And there's how much money is in football in North America? An unbelievable amount. NFL, XFL, CFL, whatever. There's an insane amount of money, right? That money in other parts of the world when it comes to football. In some parts of Europe, a little bit is a decent amount of money, but Uganda, which is what we're talking about, there is no money. This is why Stephen O. King, the president, is paying for this event out of his own pocket for the most part, right? And it's the same. I was in Bosnia recently, and I was chatting to one of the team's owners and head coaches, and he's just the same. He's the owner and the head coach. He mows the grass himself. He built the gym. He built the team gym himself with his hands, right? He drives players to and from practice. He spent an unbelievable amount of his own money on the program. And so those are the things you're dealing with outside of North America. And so you need to create a system of football or allowing people to get into football that takes the individual away. You want that system to remain regardless of who's in there, right? And that's just, like I said, having very competent and well-funded federations that can support the sport on a full-time basis, not a part-time basis, because outside of North America, everyone is doing part-time. Everyone has a full-time job, and they're doing football on the side as like a hobby or a labor of love.
Right, right. Now, do you think, because my goal is, like, I'm putting together a plan, like I said, Martin. I'm putting together a plan on paper to where I'm going to be getting colleges here involved, high school here involved, to where they can donate their equipment. Because here in America, just to let you know, the budget for high, especially in California where I'm at, the budgets for football are so high to maintain the program, you might be getting new equipment every 4 years or so. And so it's like they still have stuff in storage. So it's just me asking, hey, can you donate enough equipment to field 53 people in Uganda, 53 young men in Uganda? Could you donate enough equipment to do that, and also donate enough flag equipment if you have some so for the girls to learn the sport as well, and the little kids as they're coming up, you have that. So that's my goal, to attack the colleges, especially the NAIA colleges, because they're religious based, and a lot of them have missionaries that go over to Africa and spread the gospel. So some of those missionaries might have played football, might have coached football. So I'm trying to put a program together. But what I'm trying to ask you is this: if I put together a program, could you assist me in getting it to Pierre and saying that, hey, I got this amount done, I got this amount of volunteers that coach overseas or have leagues overseas, like my good friend Darryl Tate. He has a company over in Europe called Pro Hunt in Europe. And Pro Hunt, he basically takes American football players over there and introduces them to different leagues in Germany and this. Plus, he has his own league and team. He's willing to go over there. And I have another coach here that coaches professionally and in college in Lawrence Tech in Michigan. He said he would go. Good friend of mine, Terrence Wilson. Coach Terrence Wilson knows everything about football. Both of those said they would go, but they want to know what the competition was. So if I put together a plan and everything, and you or Roger could help me get it to Pierre, do you think, in your opinion, would be willing to at least compensate the coaches a little bit just to go over there and establish the sport the correct way? What do you think?
I think that's the thing that has been there for a long time. I don't think there's an issue with finding people on either side who want to help, right? People always want to help. And in North America, I know there's so much good work being done around the rest of the world trying to help promote football, right? And I think it's great. However, they need to realize that. So Uganda, for example, this Swedish a player who was going to bring a bunch of pads over, he wanted the flight pay for him, which is fair enough. I understand that. But at the same time, if you're the Ugandan Federation, if you're spending potentially $1,000 or $800 on a flight, you could use that money to buy pads anyway.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And so it's like the outreach and the donations to be... there needs to be holistic. There needs to be across the board. There needs to be a donation not only of the equipment, but a donation of the time, a donation of money, of your expertise, all those things, all packaged into one. So when you go up to Uganda, you're bringing everything to them, helping them. And I think that's what's needed. And I think maybe there is room for negotiation. IFAF do have money, and maybe they could compensate here and there small amounts. If you go in there with the attitude of, oh, I need to get compensated to go over there, then it's probably not going to work, just because that money they used to compensate you, they could have developed for in the country themselves anyway. Do you understand?
Right.
Obviously individual basis, so it's conversations worth having with individuals and individual circumstances. But I can definitely help you do that, and I'll facilitate any conversation you want to have with IFAF, any other football federation in Africa or Europe, happily.
Okay, and before you go, can you tell everybody that'll go back and listen to this recording, could you tell everybody what you do at AFI and tell us a little bit more about AFI, what you guys do? I mean, I know basically you guys are a newsletter, and I have used it to put out articles myself, but could you just touch on that so people can know a little bit more about AFI and what you do?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. My name's Daniel. I am one of the correspondents for AFI, American Football International. We cover all international aspects of football. Maybe Europeans or internationals that have gone to the States to play, but predominantly European leagues, leagues in Africa, in North Africa, East, West Africa, in Asia. We cover Chinese league, Japanese league. We cover all football happenings out of North America, basically. We're the largest news outlet of football out of North America. And you'll see it on my Instagram, our Twitter. So just check us out, AmericanFootballInternational.com, and you'll see all the articles. You want to keep up to date with international football news. We stream games.
When are you going to be coming to the States, or have you been over here?
I've been there so many times, yeah. One of the amazing things, we get to travel quite a lot for our work. But when I'm next there, I'm not sure. When work brings me over there, or holiday brings me over there, I'll come.
Yeah, let me know when you come over. Maybe you can, maybe if you're coming to California, San Diego, or something like that, or L.A., definitely let me know so we can see each other face to face.
I'd love that. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, and I'll be in touch with you on social media, on Facebook Messenger and Twitter, and I got your email. So I'll be in touch as I get things moving and going, and hopefully maybe I can work directly with IFAF, with Pierre, once I get some things going in some capacity. And, you know, try to help those guys build that program over there in Uganda. That would be awesome.
Amazing. Sounds great. Look forward to talking to you. And just from a objective standpoint, I really appreciate what you're doing in trying to promote football outside of the States. It's really admirable.
Man, I thank you. Look, thank you for your time, and thank you for coming on the Stogies and Beer Radio. So definitely tune in sometime and hit us up, or else I'll just listen to the podcast and share.
Awesome. Sounds good.
All right, thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, yes. For those of you just tuning in, welcome back to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it live in the early morning. And we were just talking to my good friend, my new good friend, Dan McKenzie from AFI, International Newsletter, and where they basically cover everything football related over in the overseas, over in Europe and around the world. And we were just talking about the situation of football in Uganda and the Zone Series 2022, just trying to get a better understanding of everything that they may need over there in Uganda to help the sport grow and everything like that. I want to apologize, first of all, for the initial switching of the audio, because I have to work two sound sources when people call from overseas. I have to use my phone, and I got to speak directly into the dashboard to record the interview. So basically, I had to use two sources: my laptop mic to conduct the show, and my cell phone mic to conduct the interview, and put my cell phone mic close up to the laptop mic so he could record his interview. So hopefully the interview came out well. Can't wait to do the feedback. But if something didn't come through clear, I'll reiterate what he said in my notes in this particular broadcast in the event notes. So in that, they'll be available on Facebook, Twitter, and stuff like that. So we'll basically make sure that you get the information on the updates for football in Uganda and the Zone Series 2022, Kenya versus Uganda, in a padded exhibition football game to help establish the sport and introduce the sport into Uganda. But they have a lot of challenges. They have a lot of challenges over there, but we'll get back to that in a second. Well, right now it's actually time for the end of my show. I kind of got past my actual time myself, but it was a good interview. But I want to go ahead on and right now set Black and Fade All, because you know, I'm gonna do another quick music mix, and then I'm gonna come back and set Black and Fade All. But Stogies and Beer Radio Show can be heard every Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Most Mondays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast and debate about the sport he or she loves the most. Today's topic was NFL Thursday Night Football Week 6 Preview. NFL Thursday Night Football is going to be the Saints and the Arizona Cardinals. New Orleans Saints versus the Arizona Cardinals. I think they got the Saints. The over-under is -2.5, over-under -2.5. It's not a prediction on who's going to win, but the over-under for the Saints and the Cardinals tonight on Amazon Prime Thursday Night Football will be the over-under is -2.5 points. And we also was talking about a lot of NBA action. Zion Williams returning back to the with New Orleans Pelicans, looked real good last night. The New York Knicks in a big fight last night, big fight on the court, competitive-wise, against the Memphis Grizzlies and Ja Morant. Memphis Grizzlies pulled it out in overtime, but the Knicks fought hard. We also had the Suns and the Mavericks playing last night. The Phoenix Suns over the Mavericks last night, 105-107 in favor of the Suns. So that was a good game. A lot of people questioning why Luka Doncic, after sc- scoring on 35 points, couldn't pull off a win for his team. But basketball is a team sport, so it wasn't just on him. But anyway, we had a great show today. Hopefully you guys will go back and listen to the recording if you weren't listening live. But we got a lot covered today, and I'm glad I was able to connect with the UK, my friends in the UK. Big shout out to Dan McKenzie and Roger Kelly over in the UK, and updating us on what's going on with the situation of football in Africa and primarily Uganda, and what's going on with the Zone Series 2022. We'll be back on Monday morning, bright and early Monday morning, and I want everybody, to stay safe from monkeypox, stay safe from COVID-19, keep your hand sanitizer, put your mask on, get your flu vaccines, get your COVID boosters, because all this stuff is, we're coming back around the cold and flu season. Stay safe out there. Be love. Love one another. Treat everybody the way you want to be treated. Be light, not darkness. Be light, not darkness. Love, not hate. Goodness, not evil. We got a lot of evil and hate going on in the world. Don't be that person. Treat people the way you want to be treated. And, I'm not trying to preach to you, but it's my duty with this global format to tell everybody we need to love everybody and love one another. We're all one people, one human race. No race but human race. That's the only race that counts, the human race. And we're all part of that race, the human race. We're all the same. Love one another. Treat everybody the way you want to be treated. Until Monday, stay safe. Enjoy your weekend. Today is my Friday, officially my Friday, unlike yesterday, but it's officially my Friday. I'm going to try to get set up for the show on Monday. But hopefully on the second half of the show, you could hear my audio clear enough, because I had to switch over to my direct laptop mic for my soundboard. So hopefully the interview came in well. Hopefully you can hear me clearly. If not, I apologize. We'll try to get better. And this has been the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WEST. That's WBEST. And I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, signing off. Set black, fade off.